John chapter 3, verse 22. I have a title. It's team mindset is the right mindset. Team mindset is the right mindset. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Together we are better. Team mindset. Look at this nice team here above. Me and Leo. Yeah. We look better together, right? Yeah. Team mindset's the right mindset. That's right, Leo? Yeah. So, before we pray, I have to tell you this. We talked about new birth, Good Friday, resurrection. It was a very deep, spiritual, thoughtful subject. Today we're going to be lighter. Okay? Smooth. I promise. Okay? Let us pray. Lord, give us grace as we approach your word, and may your word teach us. Be the guide, be the teacher. Holy Spirit, have freedom to speak in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us read, and we're going to make some stops on the way. I think we're going to understand it fully if we do that. From verse 22 to verse 26, I read, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Enon, near Salem, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put into prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him.'" Pay attention to this. The dispute was a matter of water. Now John's baptized, they change the subject. The dispute is not about water. The dispute now is who is baptizing, John or Jesus. And I'll bring with this our first point here. The first point is the question, the concern. We are losing followers. That's the concern. We are losing followers. Raise your hand if you think that's a silly question to ask when the other person who is baptizing is Jesus Christ himself. You're surely going to lose followers. It's Jesus. Nobody should be following you in the beginning. So it's a silly question. But let us try to put ourselves into John's disciple shoes, okay? Because I don't know about you, but I deal with something, three words. It sounds like my brother's name, Igor, but it's not. Ego. I deal with that guy every single day. Let us try to think and picture what's going on here with John's disciples. Supposing you were a great engineer, a lot of experience, wise, and all of that. Now pay attention to this. You do your job, and you're a good engineer. Sorry, I'm picking on Kevin. It could be any other profession. It could be GM, Tony. But now, suddenly, you're always doing what you always did for your whole life. And your boss comes to you, and he says, "Good job." And instead of giving you a raise, he cuts your pay in half. Does that feel good? Yeah. We take a $2 raise and we say, that's not enough. That's no change. But if the boss takes $1 out of our paycheck, that's not my wage. Right? John is doing the same thing he always did. Baptizing, baptizing, baptizing. Preaching, preaching, preaching. What was his results? Multitudes, multitudes. But now the boss cuts in half the result. Now the multitudes don't come to John. Now the multitudes go to Jesus Christ. And that's what's bothering the disciples of John. Do you understand now? It's not that of a silly question. It's very human. Like, wait a minute. I always did this. The results was that. Now I have lesser of a result. What's going on? And there is something about our ego that I need to tell you. The game of comparison, it's terrible. But pay attention to this. I'm a sportist man. I like sports, so I watch everything. Even darts or pool, I'm watching wherever there is a competition. If you take me, and this is just a cue and hint so you actually take me. If you take me to watch the Maple Leafs game, okay? If you take me, and you tell me, Gustavo, Auston Matthews is great. Nylander, Marner, and all these guys. You know what I'm going to say? They're great. They're amazing. But now, take me to my sports, soccer, and tell me this. Gustavo, you're good. But he is better. Gustavo, you score one goal every game, but he scores three. Gustavo, you win games, he wins championship. Ask if Gustavo is going to say, yeah, he is great. Right? Do you understand this? Jesus is doing what? The same thing John does. And people are saying, he's better. And of course he's better. But that's our ego. When you talk about another subject, yeah, it's great, amazing. When you come to your area and the comparison is to you, that's when the ego starts. It's when we usually attack people or belittle people. Yeah, he's good, but it's because of his team. Yes, he's good, but he's lucky. And you put all of this. And that's the question, the concern here. Do you understand? That's what's happening. But now John, thanks to God, John has no ego problem. Thanks to God, John the baptizer, he is very different of Gustavo. Because he's going to give us one answer that it's two-folded. Our second point is the answer number one. Let's say like this. What does he say? Pay attention with me. This is not a competition. Team mindset is the right mindset. Let us see what he answers. Verse 27. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. This is the first fold of his answer. This is not a competition. This is not a dispute or comparison. And you see that he talks about wedding. It's not me who likes to give illustration and pick on spouses because I'm a single man. It's the Bible who always talk about wedding. So taking that flow, I have a question for you married people. When does the marriage start to get strained? Is it when we start to the game of comparison? I make more money, therefore my opinion. I do the chores, therefore my opinion. I am the man, and so my opinion. I am the wife. I'll say this again. I am the wife, therefore my opinion. Isn't that true? Am I ready to get married? Very wise, right? Beyond my ages. When the couple forgets they are a team, they are one, they should cleave. They are we, not you and I. It's when things fall apart. And John is saying, this is not a competition. This is not comparison. This is not a dispute. Jesus and I, we are a team. Jesus and I, we are doing the same thing. And so he's going to put three beautiful statements here. The first one, it's a man can receive only what is given from heaven. Pay attention to the kind of words John used here. He doesn't say what we like to say. A man can do only what he receives. A man can give only what he receives. That's not what he's saying. He's saying what? A man can receive what it's given. He inverts the statement. Why? Because he wants to make very sure to the disciples, do not focus on me doing something. Do not focus or worry if I baptize and if I preach. Do not worry about what I do, because at the end of the day, who is actually doing something is God Himself. I am only the receiver. I am the only an instrument. I am only the channel. A man can only receive what it's given from heaven. This is not a dispute. Second thing he's going to tell us, it's very funny. The bride belongs to the groom. The bride belongs to the groom. Who is the groom? Jesus. What is John saying? I have no share in the rewards. I have no share in the multitudes. I have no share in the results. Because the bride, the results, the reward belongs to the groom. If I try to take it, it is what we call adultery. Does that make sense? Because the bride belongs to the groom. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. I should not have followers. The bride belongs to the groom. Everything apart from that, it is weird. And the third statement, very famous. He must become greater, I must become less. We talked about sports. Think about Argentina. Who is the star of Argentina? Messi. And that should be like that. Period. Because Messi is the star, Argentina became valuable. And that's very impossible to happen because Brazilians don't like Argentina. I don't know how come Argentina can become valuable. But they did. Because of Messi, they win the World Cup. Because they have what? A superstar. He must become greater, I must become lesser. Jesus is the superstar of the church. And I'm not saying this on a weird way. Jesus is the one we look up to in the church. If some man wants to become the star of the church, that's wrong. If one man wants to have followers, that's wrong. What makes the church valuable? It's not Billy Graham, it's not John Calvin, it's not nobody other than the superstar, other than the one who brings value to the church. And who brings value to the church? Jesus Christ. Therefore, John understand, we are a team, he must become greater. He is the star. He is the one who wins the game. He is the one who makes all of us valuable. Clear? This is the first answer. Followed by the second. And what is the second? It's our third point. If this is a competition, I am gladly losing it. This is not a competition, but in case this were a competition, I would be gladly losing it. I asked you about when the couple starts to fall apart. It's when comparison and dispute come into the picture. And when does a couple start to win? Isn't when some spouse, no matter if it's the man or the woman, they are wise enough to say, this dispute is going nowhere. I'm losing, but we are winning. Remember the proverb I taught you? When my wife wins, I also win. When the man wins, the wife also wins. Never forget this proverb. If this was a dispute, I'm gladly losing. Who is the wise spouse? Is the one that for the sake of the team is humble and meek enough to stop the whole competition game and make the family to win. And now we can read what John is saying here in verse 31 all the way to the end. He says this, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. To him God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. I don't know if you picture what I'm telling you. He's pretty much saying it's impossible to compete with someone who is heavenly, with someone who can grant salvation, who someone who has doctrines of eternal life. It is impossible to compete with someone who the Spirit was given unlimitlessly. If this was a dispute, I would lose and I would gladly lose. I remember one day that in my journey to become a soccer player, I was 17 years old and I went to the greatest club I have ever stepped in. You may know if you like soccer. It's called Atlético de Madrid. Real Madrid is the greatest club ever. Atlético de Madrid is their rival. I stood there for a 1 month tryout. Guess if I passed or I failed the tryout. What's your guess? I failed. Look at where I am now. Simple answer, right? Anyways, I failed. So, there was this man called Falcão Garcia, which back in the days he did an amazing World Cup, and every time you make a good World Cup, you become valuable. And so Atletico de Madrid bought him as the superstar. And so I was in Madrid training with the 17 years old. And Falcao came, but the guys who he trains with, they were traveling around for their preseason. So Falcao had nobody to train with. Guess what happened? They sent him to train with us, the teenagers. And he came. And so he came, and I'm in the tryout. Everything I want to do, it's a big move. Score a nice goal, because then I'm going to pass. But they did the opposite. Falcao Garcia, when he was playing with us, he agnut me. I think that's the name. You know when the ball goes through the legs? And for those who don't know soccer, this is the most humiliating thing can happen to you. Especially if you're a Brazilian. We are known to do that to the others. Never to take that from the others. So Falcao, I opened the leg a little bit and quickly he put the ball through my leg and took him the other side. And I'm like, this man humiliated me. But do you think that was a humiliation? No. It is Falcao who did that to me. I will always remember, I'll never forget. I'm honored to be humiliated by someone who is a superstar. I'm honored to be in the club. How much more to be with the superstar himself? That's what John is trying to teach us. If this was the whole game of disputing, I'm gladly losing. Jesus is heavenly. I'm not. He is sinless. I'm not. He gives salvation. I can't. There is no competition, but if there was, gladly I'm going to lose. And I want you to pay attention to this. He talked about wedding. He talks about the groom. He talks about heaven. And this is John the Baptist speaking. Now John, the one recording, the one writing, is the same John, is the apostle, is the same John who writes the book of Revelation. And how does the Bible end up? Close its pages, finishes the story with a wedding that happens where? In heaven. When God comes from heaven. When the bride comes, heavenly. When the new Jerusalem comes from heaven. And there we're going to be with an eternal joy with our groom, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is giving us the picture that later John saw spiritually unfolding his eyes, and he writes to us. Isn't that beautiful? How the Bible connects itself. How different people have the same description about the spiritual reality. How John the Baptist says this around 30 AD, and John the Apostle sees this in 90 AD, 95 AD. Isn't that beautiful? And we have this in our hands. I'm going to conclude talking about him, Jesus, the team leader, the one who brings value to the church. In the four statements John the Baptist makes here, he starts with verse 33. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. The man who accepts God's word, the man who accepts what Jesus says, the man who understands that all this spiritual reality is very true, they know it is true. The Bible is not a fairy tale. Our faith is not irrational. That's the word, irrational. We are not dumb just because we are Christians. You can test, you can put to the proof, you can call science, you can call politics, you can call whatever you can come, and we're always going to be crystal and clear. This is the truth, period. If you follow the steps of the Bible, you're safe. Your family is going to be safe. Your emotions are going to be controlled. Your eternal hope is going to be assured. Your financial life, you're going to be prudent. You're going to be generous. If you put things to practice, the Bible is very crystal clear and it's proven. And the Bible, it's there. And the way John is speaking about Jesus, it is, that's what he means. He wants you to taste and see that it is truth. I have one of my co-workers, good you don't know them, so I can speak and never mention the name. Every time you talk to him, how are you? I'm blessed and highly favored and all that spiritual thing. And you know I like to call people good looking, right? I say, you look good. And he says, if I look good, I it's because of God. And I'm like, what this guy's thinking about? Like, it's just a good compliment. That's it. And he wants to sound so spiritual, supernatural. But the most real thing that we need him to do, he doesn't do. Come on time. All of our work are always there 5 to 10 minutes earlier. Because we are a Christian organization. We have good... we have good standards. But the spiritual man, I'm blessed, I'm this, I'm that, always late. Jesus is saying, John is saying, theology, Christianity, is not about what you say, it is what you do. If you put it to practice, you know it, period. That's Jesus. The second statement he talks about Jesus here is, it is verse 34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. To him God gives the Spirit without limit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came in portion, a visitation. There is a task to be done. There is a warrior that needs to be raised. There is a leader. There is a king. But with Jesus is the opposite. The Spirit is given limitlessly. That's why Jesus is what he is. That's why he does miracles. That's why he defeats death. That's why he raises. That's why he has the Spirit without limits. Verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Another thing that John wants to clarify about Jesus, he formally said that the bride belongs to the groom. But now he's clarifying, he says, actually, everything belongs to the groom. And that's why there should be no place for comparison and disputes among us. Because no matter if that guy is better than I, everything belongs to Jesus. No matter in what I'm better than the other guy, everything I have belongs to Jesus. Right? And the final verse it is, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John, it's finishing and concluding. Only Jesus can give eternal life. Only Jesus. And I love the Bible that the Bible does not sugarcoat death. Every time the Bible talks about salvation, it's good news. But there is a hint of eternal condemnation. And every time the Bible warns us about eternal condemnation, there is a hint, there is salvation. The Bible is very crystal clear, very open, very vulnerable in that sense. This is the truth. And only Jesus can give eternal life. But now if you have your Bibles open, I want to literally close this sermon with John chapter 20, verse 21 and verse 22. Team mindset is the right mindset, okay? Pay attention to what we read. Now when we add this John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, look how beautiful this is. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Quick question. How we just read that God gave the Spirit to Jesus was a visitation. There was a limit. He gave the Spirit to his Son. How? Without limits. Now hear the words of God. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Also us, we have access to the same Spirit. Also we have access to the same power. It is not limited. It is not restrained. God, it's not frugal. He gives the Spirit without limit to his church, to his bride. Why, Gustavo? Because this is not a dispute. We are a team. Jesus is the leader, but we are a team. We are on the same boat. We are doing the same work, the same job. We want people to be eternally saved. How can we do that? Because the Father gave us the Spirit without limit. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And may the right mindset be Emmanuel's mindset. In Jesus' name, amen.